So you know you share our faith. And so we're here to celebrate, not just to mourn. We celebrate a life that was captivated by the love of God, transformed by the gospel of Jesus, and lived with purpose and died with purpose. Gave his life in an attempt to save and reach others for the Lord. So we celebrate what this all means, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But this is first a time for us to gather our own thoughts and our stories and our memories, and there are various people that have tributes to pay. So we're going to move straight into that and have a time of storytelling and tribute. So if I stand here, can you all still see over there different places? Because the way the tributes will be down here, great. I'm going to ask Ricky and Gavin to come up first. So the pastor's with us here in Fountain Vineyard, walked very closely with Glenn. The two of you come up and just share what's in your hearts as well. If you can just open the floor for us, that'll be great. Ricky, you going to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you.
Probably better that way.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to get up here so you can see me. Is that okay? Yeah. Glenn McKenzie. What a man. What a man. He called himself Gammy. I remember the first time we went out with Glenn. I got to know him for the first time was when we did a Hogsback hike. And I was walking in the back with the two old fogies. I had to make sure that Neville and Glenn stayed on the track.
Yeah.
There was one part of the pass where we were far off the edge on this side, on your left hand side, he had a leg that used to just go out from under him and just make him. On this little part of the pass, I stood right next to him and said, "Buddy, don't let that leg go anywhere right now. We don't want you to fall, go falling." And he did, but he went up against the mountain. I thank Jesus for that. He was always fun. He was always fun. Glenn, he lived with amazing passion. Whenever there was a lull in the conversation, I would ask Glenn it was one of my ploys. I would say, "You know what, have you heard that story of Glenn's?" And then I would go, "Glenn, please tell us a story. Please tell us a story of what happened in your life and how you lived life." So I'm going to tell a story that's probably not appropriate for you for this company, but I'm going to say in any case, because I asked Glenn to tell it to us every time we were there. You guys know exactly which story it is. Glenn was a young boy. And he had decided, and I think he just got out of the bath, it was Free Willy, the way that Glenn tells it, he had his underpants in the top drawer, to get on a stool to get into the top drawer and take out his underpants. He managed to get his drawer, his underpants out, and he closed the drawer with his willy. And as he closed the drawer with his willy, it was sausage and eggs got stuck got stuck right there in the drawer. Glenn recounts the story. He screamed like a baby. But he screamed even worse when he had to go to the toilet for the first time after getting his manure out of the drawer. Man, it was a funny story. That and many more. If you want to hear more, come ask me. I sat him. I would ask him about every funny story that he had. You can come tell me. I'll tell you about them. He also, what I loved about him was that he loved Jesus, guys. He loved him, and he wanted everybody to know about Jesus. When he just learned about sharing his faith, Glenn was in his truck, and I would get a call. I kid you not, twice a day, I would get a call from Glenn, twice a day. And he would tell me, "Ricky, I just cornered somebody in my truck." And he would have somebody in his truck that he would be telling about Jesus, and he had a captive audience because they couldn't go anywhere. And there he was telling me about how Jesus, about how he told them about Jesus. And every now and again, he'd ask me, "Ricky, is that correct theologically?" So most of the time, it was a little bit scared, but you know, his heart was so right with Jesus that he managed to tell everybody about this love that he had found. Yeah, He had a million ideas. If you knew Glenn, he was a guy with a million ideas. I'd walk to his house and he would have a million ideas of what he's going to build next. He had something else that he had concocted in his head and his heart that he wants to build next. There was always a plan. There was always something new that he was looking forward to building. I remember on this trip, we would wake up some mornings with a knocking around the campsite, and I knew it's Glenn. Glenn's busy knocking something. There's a piece of metal that to be knocked. Glenn is busy knocking that metal right now. He had more fishing stories than anybody I know. Yeah, and he modified his vehicle for this trip to Africa, guys. I don't know if you know that. He modified his back wheel so that you could have coffee off his back wheel. Yeah. And it worked so well. He built a table on his back wheel. It worked like a bomb, and his team had coffee every morning. It was great. And Glenn dreamt of speaking about God to many people. He came to me in church one morning and said, "Ricky, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was standing in front of many people telling them about this Jesus that I found." It was great for me to be on this trip with him because he had an opportunity to share his faith with so many. Mm. Yeah. Every time there was an opportunity for him to tell somebody about Jesus, Glenn would jump up. He was the first one to jump up, gammy leg and all. He would jump up and he would tell people about his story. And his story brought restoration to so many. Yeah. There were so many on the trip that was impacted by Glenn's story. Even in our team, they were impacted by the way God's grace had changed Glenn's life. It was one of the most impactful moments was at Mallorca Lodge when we were sharing stories and were telling each other about the grace that God has unleashed in our lives. And Glenn spoke about his story, and so many people could unpack their own journey because of the story Glenn shared. We'll miss you for that, Glenn. Never afraid to just speak your heart and speak your mind. Love you for that, bud. Yeah. He dreamt of speaking in front of many people, and I'm glad that he got to do it on this trip. And finally, we miss you, buddy. We're going to miss you. You're going to miss his voice. You're going to miss his laughter. We're going to miss him finding us after church. You're going to miss him calling us. Just to ask stuff. But he's always going to be with us. His heart's always going to be here. On the trip, there was a song that he loved. He loved this song. Simplicity came to me after. He said, "Ricky, I love this song." It's another song that Tim McGraw, a country singer, sang. It's called Skydiving. If you ever listen to a good song about dying, listen to Skydiving. It's a really good song. The moral of that story is live like you are dying. Mm. These last few days of Glenn's life, he lived like he was dying. He was having fun with his son. He was sitting out in a boat fishing. He was telling everybody that he could about the love of Jesus. Yeah, I want you to know, Glenn to know, that we won't waste the pain of your passing, Glenn. This pain is not going to kill us. This is what's going to make us stronger. This is what's going to grow us to become more of the people God has called us to be. So live like you're dying. Bless you guys.
Amen. Thanks, Ricky.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I haven't known Glenn as long as Ricky and the guys. So I've pretty much only got to know him over the last 7-8 months, and particularly the last few. And then on this trip, I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with him. And Glenn had such a profound impact on particularly Carl and myself. We had a saying in our vehicle. Do you remember those armbands, what, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, we had a saying, WW, what would Glenn do? Because Glenn was driving behind me most of the time, and I think he just got bored of swerving potholes or something, so he just decided, let's take the adventurous route over them. And you could just imagine, and everything about Glenn was adventure. He loved to explore. He loved to do what we used to always say. I think Glenn used to think it and either speak it or do it. He didn't think of what was what was coming, whatever. He lived life to the full, and he wanted to enjoy every moment of it. So much so that he took his fishing rod with him to Mozambique, and he got to throw line. And he was one of the happiest moments. He's like, I threw my line in Mozambique, and that was happy. The fact that he didn't catch anything wasn't really the point. The point was that he did it, and he kept telling us, look, you didn't do it, I did it. So we said, no, that's fair enough. But some of the things Glenn was passionate about is obviously fishing, and we managed to spend a lot of time talking about that. But like Ricky said, he was so passionate about God. And that is one of the areas that I saw Glenn grow so much in the 2 weeks that we were away. He was so open and honest about where he had come from, where the mistakes he made in life, but where God had changed and transformed his life into someone that was passionate about, first and foremost, knowing Jesus and helping others to know Jesus. It was so funny at this Marayoka Lodge, there was this highly intellect atheist dude, whatever, who thought he was more intelligent than anyone else. And we're like, just leave the sucker alone. He just wants to arguments. Glenn said, no. And we were so worried that Glenn was going to put the sucker on his ear eventually. So we kept watching. It's like, so we're like, eventually Glenn went up to him and had a 2-hour conversation with this dude. And he stuck with him and he was adamant and he was like persevered through this whole thing. And afterwards we said, Glenn, how was it? He said, no, this is how much God has changed me. Probably a few years ago, I'd have let him sleep where he was. But now I was calm, and I just continued to share the grace of Jesus. But he was passionate about what God had done in his life. And like Ricky said, he shared it at every opportunity that he could. And he was, what another thing I just loved about Glenn, he was such a generous guy. Whatever he possessed and owned, it wasn't his own. It was something that God had blessed him with, and he was prepared to give it away. You know, one of the things, again, talking here at church, we were talking about it, and he said, I've got a fishing boat. He said, and one of his favorite sayings was, I said, well, how the motor? He said, no, the motor's on, but when they rech, everything goes. If it was rech, it was go. And he said, when they rech, you come, you hook up the boat, and you go. It's like, Glenn, I've only known you a few months. Hook it up, and you can use it. You know, that's just who he was. He was, and everything about him was that. He was generous because he understood the grace of God and understood what God had given him in his life, and he was passionate just to give it away. And those were just a couple of the things of his adventure, of his generosity, his passion for God, that he was just prepared to give away everything that he had, that he was prepared to share everything of himself. And that's just how authentic he was. And that always stood out to me, because he has a guy, he is what he is. He knows who God made him, and he's happy and content with that. He's content with Christ in his life. And we don't have to strive for anything else, but he knew who Christ was in his life, and it was center of his life. And obviously, he knew his family loved him, and he was so excited about sharing the boat with Dane and sharing his new grandchild coming along. There were so many things, you know, that he was just passionate about, and he would be prepared to share it with all of us. So, yeah, like Ricky said, Glenn, we're going to laugh a lot less, but I'm sure heaven is laughing a lot more. Mm. And he's with his Savior, and that's the hope that we have.
Yeah.
And I'd like to just end with Proverbs 18:10. It's a short proverb that just meant so much to me on this trip. It was, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to him and are safe.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Right. So, Michelle, why don't we ask you to come up? Would you like to do that now? You want to read it for you?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Michelle has written a tribute. I said we would just read it if you didn't feel to come, so let me just do. Maybe I should stand here. You guys can probably see better as well. So this is from Michelle. What an honor and privilege it has been married and to have shared life with such an incredible man who was so passionate and stood firm and solid in his faith and his beliefs. An extremely intelligent and adventurous man that was never afraid to take a risk. He was a loving and caring father to our children, Kaylee and Dane. He always took the time to hug them, tell them how much he loved them, and how proud he was of them. He has set a marvelous example to them of a genuine father's love towards their children. Glenn's childlike and joyful personality was infectious, and there was never a dull moment when he was telling one of his many, many stories he had whilst growing up. Can I just say, we had a trip a year or two back to Namibia, and the guys in that car said he didn't stop from here to the north and back. The stories played, and they were not repeated. There was just so many, huh? Can you go to Tosha and back and tell stories nonstop and not repeat one? That's Glenn McKenzie. A true evangelist that loved the Lord and was in his absolute element when speaking to strangers about eternal life. That was definitely his gifting. He has scattered many seeds and impacted many lives. Although my heart is broken and aches and longs for him, I hold on to knowing that he was taken from us doing what he loved and that one day I will see him again. I always cherish the amazing memories I have of him and his funny stories he told will never be forgotten. Your loving wife. So we want to give thanks also. This is from Michelle on behalf of the family. Our family would like to extend our heartfelt thanks for the incredible love, prayers, support, and kindness that you've all shown us during this very difficult time. We know that we are not alone and our hearts are filled with gratitude. And then she addressed Ricky and myself. Glenn loved us both as a friend and spiritual father. Your guidance, advice, encouragement, and upliftment have made a huge impact in his life. I'm so grateful for you both. There are so many people to thank that have impacted Glenn's life. I'm so grateful for each one of you. The road ahead will be rough, but God's strength, grace, and love is never ending. Thank you, Michelle. Bless you. Let's give her a hand, eh? We have a few other tributes coming through. So those who are going to bring tribute, if you'd like to come up now, and friends and family. Will you do yours first? Johan has a tribute that's written down, and we've asked one of our elders to come and read it. Darren's going to read it for Johan, and then Kaylee perhaps after that. Is that okay, Kaylee? And then just to say, there will be time for informal, spontaneous tributes as well. There'll be a moment for that just now. So if you have a story to tell or a comment to make, there'll be a moment for that as well. This is not a religious meeting. This is a meeting of friends and family. So we're not following any religious protocol here. But just to say also, if anybody would like to say what they want to say, also by not just words but with contributions, we would like to bless the McKenzie family and certainly help cover all costs relating to this whole incident. So you're free to make donations into Fountain Vineyard. Just mark it McKenzie and we'll know what it's about. So Darren, would you read Jan's tribute? Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Glenn was the perfect example of a gentleman, a loyal and loving husband, a father that would give and do anything for his children. For the 5 years that I've known him, I admired the way he treated his family and the way he treated me as if I was his own son. Even though, for some reason, he still called me Ryan, after years of telling him, my name is Johan. He was always willing to help me with any problems I had without hesitation, and knowing him has made me want to be the type of husband and father he was. I will miss him terribly, and the world is definitely a poorer place without him. I know that even though he is not here, his spirit will forever live on within the people he loved. Rest in peace, Glenn. We love you.
Amen. Thank you. Let's give Johan a hand. Thank you, Johan, for that great message from a son-in-law. Kaylee, would you like to come up? Can you stand here? Are you going to stand? Can you come up here? Okay. There you go. Shall I hold this for you?
That's okay. Okay. All right. My dad was more than just my dad. He was my carpenter, my plumber, my electrician, mechanic, builder, and handyman. Mm. When I told him something needed to be done, he would be there the same day, drill in one hand, toolbox in the other. There was nothing my dad could not fix, adjust, or modify. Mm. I'm sure most people sitting here today had called on him for help at some stage, whether you ran out of petrol, got stuck and needed to be towed, or needed something fixed, like a toaster, a hairdryer, or even a washing machine. There was nothing he could not do, and there was nobody he would not help. Growing up, I used to think my dad was hard on me. If I got 80% for a test, he'd ask me why not 90. If I got 90% for the next test, he'd ask me why not 100%. It was only when I got older that I realized he wasn't being hard on me. He was molding me and shaping me to be the strong, independent, successful woman I am today. My achievements are his achievements. He was so proud of the person I'd become. I could see it in his eyes every time he looked at me. I could hear it in his voice every time he spoke about me. He had a lot of proud moments with me. He was proud the day Jan asked him for his blessing in my hand in marriage. He was proud to walk me down the aisle. He was proud sitting at each and every one of my graduation ceremonies, cheering me along. But most of all, he was proud of becoming a grandpa. As soon as Jan and I got engaged, he already started asking when are we giving him grandkids. I responded by saying, let's get the wedding out of the way first. And the time was here. He was finally going to be a grandpa. He was going to be an amazing grandpa. A few days before he left on his trip to Malawi, he said as soon as he gets home, he's making Sage a dollhouse. I had to break it to him that it's going to be a couple of years until she's interested in playing with a dollhouse. He just responded with his usual, yah, yah, yah. My heart breaks for my baby girl that will never have the honor and privilege of meeting my dad. And even though he was taken way too soon, I'm comforted by the fact that he was taken doing something he loved, something he believed in, something he was so passionate about. He touched so many lives, which is evidenced by the amount of people sitting here today. And although he is no longer with us, we will always have the stories to tell and the memories to share. My dad was dearly loved, and he will be deeply missed. I also have a letter that I wrote from his unborn grandchild, Sage. Dear Grandpa, even though I'm still in my mommy's tummy, I heard your voice every time we visited you. I heard you telling mommy, daddy, and grandma how you're going to spoil me, love me, and cherish me. I heard you telling them that I'm a blessing from God and you're so excited to meet me. And that mommy and daddy need to choose a beautiful name for me because I'm going to be the most beautiful baby girl. When they told you that they decided to name me Sage, you said that is the perfect name for me because you looked up the meaning and saw it meant wise. And you said, it's perfect because I'm going to be wise, just like you. The last time I heard your voice was when you sent mommy a voice note 2 weeks ago. Mommy had just been to the doctor for a scan and got some really nice photos of me. She sent them to you, and you said that I am beautiful, and that you're so excited to meet me, and that you love me and would always be there for me. And even though you'll never get to hold me, I know that you loved me. I could hear it in your voice when you spoke about me. I'm sad that I will never get to meet you, but I know you'll always be watching over me, protecting me, and loving me from above. I'm lucky to have my own guardian angel up in heaven.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's really excellent. Dane, are you ready to come and share with us? You'd like to do that now? You'd like some more time, or are you okay? Come up here. There we go.
No. That's a lot of people. Okay. Where do I start? I thought I should start by saying thank you so much to everybody for being here today. I'm sure most of you are here because my dad made an impact in your life. And that's how I lived. Every person has two choices. They can either go out and freely give what they freely received, or they could just keep what God gave them inside of them and never share it. And my dad chose to freely give.
That's true.
It's better that I don't have my glasses. Can't see anyone too well. Okay, my dad taught me many things, but the two main things that stood out for me was seeing the gold in everything he did, seeing the potential. Ricky shared that he had modified his car for the trip. He made a table at the back where the wheel carrier was. And I remember he was busy with it, and he came home the one time, the wheel was off, it looked all ugly, and my mom still said, I don't think she said it out loud, but she told me, I think about a few days ago, that it actually looked ugly, like it didn't look good. But he never saw that. He always saw what it could become. And yeah, I know that's how he saw me.
That's true.
If someone came to him with a lot of mess, he didn't see that. He saw what the mess could become. Thanks, man. Yeah, and he always used to call that out every day. No matter what I did, it wouldn't change the fact that he loved me. One of the main things he taught me was to show love and compassion for every single person. He made it his goal to go out and every day tell somebody about God and what he had freely received. Yeah, I've learned a lot from my dad. He was never perfect, but he tried to be every day. And if you wanted to know the heart of God, you could just spend a day with him and you would know everything. Yeah. What a man, eh? It was amazing in every way. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well done, Dan. Well done, eh? Excellent. That's great, Dan. Thank you so much. There are a few others, and Craig, you going to share or you want to pause? You like to come up? Great. This is Glenn's brother, Craig. Come and share what's on your heart, Craig. It's on.
I think you can hear it.
You probably do.
I'm sure you can all hear me. All hear me in the back.
Let's make quite sure Dan popped up.
Buzz is on. I can talk loud. No problem. Please.
There you go. Yeah, my younger butt. You all got to know him. You've all met him, seen him. And his spirit has touched a lot of people from what I hear and what I've seen. And driving, when I got the news a week ago, it was hard. It's the last thing you expect to hear. Your brother's gone. But it made me think about things and in my own life. And when I was in the army, I wrote a thing called The Blueprint of Time. And driving through yesterday, my mom touched on it, which is a master plan. And I believe that God has got a master plan for every single person. And we all have to do something on this earth. And we're all here for a reason. And Glenn growing up, boy. He was blonde-haired, little trouble. And some of the stories you mentioned over here, I'm going to touch on one or two of them. He grew up with an imagination second to none. He used to spend hours playing with a little horse and an Indian and the Tonto, the cowboy. The first action man figures that came out. He'd spend hours on his own playing with these. And he'd have an army and he'd be fighting the Indians and the wars. We were at Jan Smuts then, the old Jan Smuts airport, and we're standing in the departures lounge saying goodbye to my gran. And next to us is an Indian couple. And Glenn is looking like, looks like this, and asked my mom, who are they? And my mom said, they're Indians. So Glenn looks and he turns around and he says, oh, so are you the guys fighting the cowboys? He was about 8 years old, so... And then, at the age of 11, he was involved in a very serious accident. And I'm sure some of you saw the scars on his face. I was there. I witnessed it. And I thought, this is it. My butt's going. And it was... I mean, his leg was broken. It was, his face was, nose was exposed. It was shocking. And I remember what he went through. He was in the hospital, I think it was for about 6 weeks or whatever. But his leg was in a cast, in a brace and tied up with a weight. And Christmas Day, we went there to go and celebrate Christmas with him. And I walk into the ward and he says to me, but my leg's sore, I need you to help me here. Now it's on a cable going around a pulley on a weight. He says, just pick the weight up for me. So I did. And he, you know what he did? He pulled his leg back. And I've still got the scar on my finger where he jammed it in the weight. And he cracked up with laughter. But that accident touched his life then. And I'm sure you heard the stories, those of you who went on the trips, of where at a Easter convention, God touched his life. Mm. And he was told that he would never go to the border. He would never do certain things, never play rugby, never do any of this. And he did it. Nothing stopped him. And when I heard his passing, I put a caption on my Facebook page, which I said, may his spirit live on in all of those that he has touched, as he's now resting in the arms of the Lord. Mm. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Yes, you are. Thank you so much. So we have a few other comments and tributes to bring. You're going to bring one, Sean, voicemail, you got a thing, and then Craig, I know you want to come up, photo as well. Anyone else who'd like to just make a quick comment on your one of the memories of Glenn, if you wouldn't mind just coming up here, then we'll just pass the mic along the line. Thanks. You go first, Sean.
Hi, everybody. I asked Kruven to join me because Glenn, myself, and Kruven were a threesome every Friday morning at McDonald's, talking about life and enjoying breakfast. So that was for a good 5-6 years. So we knew Glenn very well. So reflecting back on this, I just wanted to honor him as a friend and to thank you, Michelle, for letting me speak. It's really a privilege. Sure. Glenn was human in every way. I didn't realize he was 52. He seemed like he was younger than me, and he was 5 years my senior. I met him really when we went to Lesotho back in 2012. And as everybody else has said, he enthralled us the whole trip there and back with his stories. We would fight to let him get in our car because there was never a dull moment with Glenn. Eh? His stories were just amazing. It's impossible to realize that someone just happened to one guy. But he lived a colorful life, and he was always up, as everybody says, for adventure. When we go on men's camp, he'd be the first one to take all his clothes off and swim naked. He used to say, I want to make a long story short, but it was never short. Because he'd repeat it 7 times.
Yeah.
All that infectious laugh that he had, and he'd say, booty, and then we'd have a laugh. I love that he stood up for people and was always willing to take on the baddies. And when he fetched his daughter from a bad relationship that she had, and he shared it with me, and he went there and fetched her. I just was really touched by his courageousness. Yeah. So what was Glenn is a question I've asked. He was honest. When he borrowed money, he always made sure he paid it back. He was a true friend. You could call on him day or night. It doesn't matter where you were or what you were in, he'd be there. He was reliable. And as I said, we met for 5 years every Friday, talking, life, praying, everything. It was awesome. Glenn had chutzpah. It's a Jewish word. Even though he had a limp, and gosh, when he put his back out, he could hardly walk. He'd lift something up and then he'd be... And with his hearing aid, he'd forget it and he wouldn't charge the batteries. And then, Glenn! No, you're standing on the wrong side, he says. So you have to go and speak the other side. For me, he was a family man. I loved the way he played Xbox with Dane. And my two boys, they were always up for a game with Glenn because he was just a child at heart. Sure. He was hardworking, was not afraid to roll up his sleeves and get stuck in. Any of the companies he worked for. Yeah, thanks. He was hardworking, like I said. And then I asked myself, where was Glenn going spiritually? Well, after they came back to the Lord in about 2007, Michelle, somewhere out like Seaview, he and Michelle recommitted their lives to the Lord, and he always believed that because of that hard time, it got Dane back into church. And for that, he always thanked God that he went through that hard time to get them to focus again on God. And he always said to me, he doesn't believe Dane would have come back to church, or come to church, if it wasn't for that hard time. So he really honored the Lord in even the rough times. You know, it was really amazing. Glenn always took chances. What I mean is for the Lord, witnessing to guys at work all the time. He was always telling me at work during tea time, he'd be witnessing to them, arguing with them, wouldn't back down. I remember one particular story. I think he was coming back from George, and it was raining cats and dogs, and he stopped to help a couple of Muslim guys that were broken down. And boy, they didn't know what was coming. Eh? All the way back from, it must have been just outside of Storms River, to PE, he had them and they couldn't go anywhere and he was preaching to them. You know, bless him. Glenn loved the Lord and wanted more. So my buddy, I know where you are now, and that is with the Lord. God bless your life. And one of the things that stuck out in my mind now is I came to say goodbye to them, and then I kept phoning him saying, hey, where are you? How are you doing? And he sent me a message just before they crossed over the border into Swaziland. So if you indulge me, I just want to just pray it, because for me, that message to me was, he lived his life.
How's it, Sean? Oh, Sean, I'm having a ball. It's awesome. I'm enjoying it. And I'm taking lots of photographs so that you can see the fun I'm having and the enjoyment I'm having. Cheers, Sean. All the best.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Can I say something, Griffin?
So getting the news, Margie phoned me, and hearing, it was like hearing, what, Rambo died, or Arnold, or some, you know, an invincible guy. And I was home alone, I'd just come from work, and I just sat there for a bit, and then the reality hit me. And the one thing about Glenn that I just want to say impacted my life the most was, and it's probably a lesson for all of us, don't wait until you're ready.
Yeah.
Be used by God where you are, how you are now.
Yeah. Good lesson. Thank you. Bless you, man. Thank you.
Now I've got to try and be lighthearted again when everybody else is making me feel so emotional too. I also knew Glenn pretty well, and we spent a lot of time together when Kathleen and I were here at Fountain. And I used to run, just a couple of funny anecdotes, I used to run a morning men's group starting at 6 until 7. And the first day we started the group, I thought, okay, I better get up at 5:30, you know, just in case one or two of the guys are early. And I got up at 5:30, and I'm walking down the passage, and I see Glenn sitting outside. So I was like, okay, fine. Anyway, he's the first one in having coffee and all the rest. So the next time we have it, I think I better get up at 5:15. I walk down the passage, and there's Glenn sitting outside. The moment I put the lounge light on, he's at the front door. Yeah, eventually it was like 5:00, and Glenn was still there. You know, I thought, I said to him the one day, I said, Glenn, don't you sleep? So he said, no, I'm just, yeah, you know, I've got a couple of things on my mind and I've got to sort them out first before I come in. And then amazingly, my wife and I were called to another church and we've been there for a couple of years. But Glenn popped into our house out of the blue about a year ago. And he said, he just knocked on the front door. That's Glenn, you know him. Doesn't phone you anything. You open the door. Hello, Glenn, how's it? What are you doing here? He says, no, Dane's at youth, and I'm a bit early, so I just thought I'd come and check on you guys, because I haven't seen you in a while. So he said, well, come in, you know, we'd be busy having supper, but, you know, we're just having tomato soup and some pizzas and stuff. And Glenn said, lekker, I'm in. So that's what I loved about Glenn, was the fact that anybody else would go, oh, no, I don't want to bother you. Not Glenn, eh? Glenn was in. And we're sitting there, and we were eating and everything and chatting away, and he's telling us a whole bunch of his stories. And we all finished, and he says, yeah, that was lekker. Is there any more? Wonderful man.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you.
Good day, everyone. I had a few troubled years, as the family would know, but Uncle Glenn, he always told me to keep my eyes on the Lord, and because of him, I am now a Christ child. I'm a King's child.
Amen. It's your brother. Wonderful man.
Uncle Glenn, I'll never forget you, and you will always be in our minds and our hearts. I just want to say to the family that I also feel with you, Auntie Michelle, Diane, Kelly. Uncle Glenn, I know you're in a better place. And we're all going to be meeting up with you soon.
Mm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Good afternoon, everybody. Glenn, a man of many stories. I started to know Glenn when we were going to Mighty Men, I think 5 years ago. And we're sitting in our voters' party. So we're squashing, we're about three guys behind. And then we started his stories and all that. Then we travel. And then he asked my name. I didn't know your name. Then I tell you my name. And he said to me, Israel, God have changed me completely. In my life, I will never allow a black man sitting close to me like this, talking stories, sharing all of my lives with you, but God have changed me completely. Mm-hmm. And he felt on saying, even my son, if he wants to marry, he can marry anyone that he loves without boundaries. This is the only thing that I would like to say. Glenn was non-racial. He loved everybody. He was the one who was fixing my cars. Every time when I got a problem, I just said, Glenn, I've got a problem. He said, come. If the car is not moving, I'll come. Where are you? There and there. What a loss. But I'm grateful that Glenn is with the Lord now. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn held a really special place in my heart, because he reminded me a lot of my own dad. My dad was just like him. And in fact, my parents finally came out to South Africa the 1 year to visit. And they came to church, and my dad was really bleak because he'd been out here for I don't know how many days and he hadn't gone fishing yet. And so that was a big deal for him, and it was a big deal for them to visit me. And the next thing I know, after the service, we were busy chatting, and the next thing, Dad comes with Glenn, and he says with this huge smile on his face, "This guy fishes." And I was like, "I know." And he said, "We can go fishing tomorrow." So he took my dad fishing for I don't know how many days in a row, and they became super wonderful friends. And my dad sends his love, Michelle, and he was so sad to hear that we've lost Glenn from this world, but he knows that he's in a beautiful one now. And fishing is hard out, you know. And I think that he was one of the most generous people I've ever known. He was so generous with all that he had. Even though he, in an earthly sense, would have had little, he was the most generous man. And we're going to miss him so greatly. And I know he's up there fishing his heart out with the Lord.
Good morning. I'm going to be brief. Dana, I was on that same Mighty Men camp. It's the first time I really met your dad, and he told me a little bit about his Scottish heritage as well. And I don't know if you got one of this is one of the Mighty Men. Have you got one of these? I'm going to give you this one so you can remember
there you go.
Your
come
dad.
On. Come on.
There we go. So, be the mighty man that your dad believed in you.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, Glenn was a work colleague of mine for the last 9 months or so, and it was a great experience. Probably about 3 months ago, he started to prime me that he wants to go on to this on this Malawi trip, but because he's only been there for a couple of months, he didn't have the leave to do it, so he didn't want to take unpaid leave, but he was also confident that he was going to go too. So he started negotiating with me to go on this trip and get paid for it, you know. So, and he made all sorts of promises when he comes back that he's going to. And the last job he did for us, he was working on one of us buckies, and he was really, really enjoying the spray painting and also the detail he was doing. And he didn't get to the point where he's got a buffet. And he then convinced me, and I'm not sure if this is true, but he convinced me that it's probably better for the car to wait for about 2 weeks or so. You know, for the paint to dry properly, and he will come back and he'll buff it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was Glenn. Also, my wife gave me a pan, a broken pan, just after Glenn joined us and asked me to fix it, and I can't fix it. So I gave it to Glenn, and I said, can you fix it? And he fixed it so well that it became like a regular thing. My mum and my wife start giving also things, and we give it to Glenn, and he'll fix it. And he impressed my mum so much that she gave him the highest honors he could. She baked him a chocolate cake. So, and it was about 2 days before he left, and I brought the chocolate cake to work, and I said, Glenn, it's a chocolate cake for my mum. You're welcome to share it with the staff. He didn't share it with the staff. He took it home. But if you ever had some of my mum's chocolate cake, you would know that he had a taste of heaven already before he left for Malawi. So, yeah, so on behalf of our company, and a lot of my colleagues are here, my partner, business partner Chris is here, Michelle, we're going to miss him, and we will be there for you as much as you need us. Okay,
thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, brother. So there's so much to say. Hey, what a blessing it has been to celebrate this life. I'm going to ask Carl just to come up here. Carl is one of the guys with us on the trip, and before we went on, part of the preparation, I asked everybody to write down what Jesus has meant to them, how they came to know him, and something of the impact that he made in their lives. And this is what Glenn wrote just a couple of days before the trip, and I've asked Carl to just read it out as kind of Glenn's testimony. Thanks, Carl.
Awesome. So this is Glenn. I grew up in a Christian home and went to Sunday school regularly. I used to dance up and down the aisles when my favorite song was playing, walking and leaping and praising God. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a very young age. When I was 11, I was involved in a bicycle accident. A car went through a stop street and knocked me off my bike. My head went through the windshield and I landed on the road. My leg was shattered and my face was badly cut up. Because I was so young, they could not put pins in my leg because my bones were still growing. This resulted in my left leg being 2 inches shorter than my right. I was told I could not play any sport, and at the age of 13, I experienced my first miracle. I went to a healing service at an Easter convention in Johannesburg, and I went up for prayer for my leg. I sat on the chair with my legs in the air. I received prayer, and my left leg grew to the same length as my right. I saw and I felt and heard the bones crackling in my leg as it grew. My mom took me back to the doctor and told him about the healing I had received. He took an x-ray of my leg and there was no evidence of it ever being broken. The doctor was speechless and turned to my mom and said, "This miracle has made me a believer today." This miracle I received did not change my life as I was young when it happened. And I did not quite grasp God's love and purpose he had for me. I still lived in the world and did and experimented with lots of worldly things. I was very short-tempered and had no time for African people as I grew up in the apartheid era. I realized what God's love for me really meant when my son was born. Because I love my son unconditionally. And that is how God loves me and you. No matter what race you are, no matter what you have done, we are all made in God's image. Because God lives within us. I am a changed person, and he has softened my heart. Amen.
Mm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So let's just a couple of minutes turn our attention to the scriptures and just anchor our thoughts in God's word that has transforming power as evidence in Glenn's life. So we're going to just read a portion out of Philippians chapter 1 from verse 19. There we go. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, but I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, This will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. That's Paul's grappling with the question of going on or staying behind and finding purpose. And I was reading an interview by Paul Bradshaw of Rick Warren. And in this interview, he asks him, what is the purpose of life? And in a nutshell, he says, the purpose of life is to prepare for eternity. Because this life is so temporal, so short. And it's the end of our body is not the end of time. It's a transition to a new thing. And he makes some comment about this. And speaking specifically about how we are made by God for God. And so in him we can live and move and have our being and find a way forward. And God, as he discovered this, and I think Glenn was discovering this throughout the journey of his life, God is more interested in our character than in our comfort and accomplishments. Who we are, what we've become. And in fact, it's who we are, our being that goes on to eternity rather than our accomplishments. They are celebrated upon the earth, but the people we have become goes to eternity. And that's why we are best known as human becomings. It's far more than human doings. And this is in conclusion, Rick Warren says at the end of this interview, when I get up in the morning, I sit on the side of my bed and say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to know you more and love you better. I think that would have been the kind of thing Glenn was saying as well. And he wouldn't have been saying that had Jesus not captivated his life with his love and his power. And I don't think we'd be wasting this opportunity if we took the time to say, where are we in terms of the purposes of God? You see, three things happened for Glenn when he died. The one was he transitioned immediately into the presence of the Lord. And so for him, as for us, death is a stepping stone to an eternal enjoyment of God's presence. And that's what he talks of here. When I die, I'll be with the Lord. The other is he let go of the mortal, the perishable restrictions of life, and is now living in the freedom that comes with eternity. And we read about that in Corinthians 15. Another thing that's happening for Glenn is enjoying a celebration that is beyond description in the presence of God. In fact, Psalm 116, verse 15, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God actually delights in his. That's why it's important to first just acknowledge that we encourage each other to wear color today, to celebrate the sense of God's joy over Glenn, over us, as we enjoy him. And so many are wearing outfits that were sewn together at Tofo Beach or Malawi or wherever. This is God's celebration of a son come home. And I'm reminded of Psalm 90, verse 12, which says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's not be, as Ricky said it so well in the beginning, let's not be wasting our lives, wasting the pain, even the past, but growing from the pain. And I want to conclude with just two strong statements, and if this can stick with us, that'll be helpful. The first is, if what you're living for is not worth dying for, it's very likely not worth living for. What keeps you getting up every day? What is that thing? If what you're living for is not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. And when I knelt down and felt Glenn's pulse at that last moment at Moyoba outside Zimba in Zambia and realized that this was his last moments and he passed on soon after that, there was great peace about that, great peace, because there was no pain. He passed immediately into the presence of the Lord. And knowing this, and has been recounted over and over again from even the stories of this recent trip, Glenn died doing that which he was living for. Gave himself so that others could come to life. And whenever we stood in any village to preach to the people or meet with the leaders, and we call for a testimony from the team, you can be sure Glenn would be the first one up front. He had so much to give of the Lord in his life. And I was also intrigued. Our Sunday night evening services here are times just of soaking worship. And Glenn hardly missed. He was here every Sunday. And he just so enjoyed the enjoyment of God. Now the good news is he can have that permanently. He's embracing that So the last statement I want to read here that I think will be helpful to us all as well at a time like this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me go it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The question to all of us at this time is the Lord calling us to fresh intimacy with him? Are there things we need to say no to say yes to him and to other things in our lives? Are there ways that he'd have us to, like Lynn, go through yet another transition as we become more and more shaped into his likeness? You know what the good news is? That as that shaping takes place, the people around us benefit too. And it's lovely to have Mary. I just met Glenn's mom just last night. And I'm sure you can recount the transformations in his life. You've been at worshiping at Fountain before. And you can testify to the changes in Glenn's life over the years as he's come to know and walk in the Lord. And so the good news I want to close with today is that's not just good for Glenn and for us to think about in his life. But there's some of us sitting here today for whom game is up. The old way has to end. This is a day of a new start. And I believe Glenn would say, if people come to know Jesus because of my dying, it would have been all worthwhile. So if there's anyone here today who feels estranged from God, maybe you're managing a marriage wrongly, you're having an affair, you're living abusively, there's corruption in your life in any way at all, your business practices are not pleasing unto the Lord, I want to say to you today, hear the word of the Lord. There is hope. There's power for change. There's a new life in him. And he loves you and wants to lead you in a new way. He's not demanding of you. He's inviting of you. He's inviting of you. And you'll find that his grace is sufficient to transform the hardest life. And God can cause every one of us to be the better for the seed that's been sown in a life lived with such abandon, such passion. Let's pray. Let's just stop for a moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to be authentic with ourselves and with our God. Jesus, we thank you today for the power of your gospel that changes lives. We've seen it in story after story in Glenn's life, the lives of many others. But there are amongst us those who would hunger to know you in more redemptive ways than they have. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, to keep them restless till they find their rest in you. We ask you for divine restlessness upon those that don't know you. Because walking with you is the ultimate. We call, in the name of the Lord, we call you, everyone, into a fresh intimacy with God. Just as an attitude of prayer, I want to say, if you'd like Ricky, Gavin, myself, any of the others to pray with you, please make yourselves known to us. Call us at the office. We'd love to introduce you to a saving knowledge of Jesus and pray with you till your life becomes oriented around the kingdom of God, not the ways of man. This is a day of new beginnings. So we thank you, Lord, for the power of your gospel seen in Glenn's life. And we honor you. We honor you for all that has happened in him and through him. We pray for comfort on Dane, Michelle, Kaylee, Johan, Mary, Glenn's brothers, and the wider family. We ask your comfort upon them. Pray that they would know supernatural grace. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me as we just honor as we honor Glenn. And before we sing this closing song, which is a song of triumph, a song of worship, before we sing that song, I'm going to invite you, just if you witness with all that's been said this morning in terms of honoring God, this is not a religious protocol thing, but if you'd like to raise your hands with me and just honor God, would you do that as we make an act of committal? Father, we raise our hands to you. We say thank you to you, like we would be doing at a rugby match. What a great try that's just been scored. What a great life that's just been lived. What a great victory for good, for your kingdom, and the power of your gospel to transform lives. Your miraculous power that changes bodies, changes relationships, sets captives free, brings healing and restoration and hope. We heard of one testimony already, Father. We thank you for that this morning. Of how Glenn's life has changed a young man's life. So, Father, we raise our hands to you to say thank you to you. And into your hands, we commit Glenn's memory. And we ask you that the good lessons of his life would continue to be an inspiration to us for years and decades to come. We commit his body to the elements, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's sing. Let's conclude our time with a song of praise.